Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Five-man weave, let's go.
Save big money at Menards.
Five on Leila Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grody, bringing you five topics on their minds today.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got five on.
Number one.
It's time for Five on It here on Rahimi, Harris, and Grody. The gang is all here. Question number one. What do you make of Jaquan Brisker's tweet about his role in Dennis Allen's defense? Now let me read that tweet to you. This is from @OT7_Blake. He said, they got to let Jaquan Brisker get up on that line of scrimmage and play in the backfield. DA got to take them chains off nine. Jaquan Brisker replied, facts. Use me. Jaquan Brisker has deleted that tweet. But what do you make of Jaquan Brisker saying facts? Use me.
Here's my issue is that when they did do that, unfortunately, the Lions picked up the blitz really effectively. And then they were able to, I think, get one of their 10 explosive plays. So I love the concept, and I don't think that you should go away from it. And I think that Dennis Allen, in theory, wants to use people's athleticism to the team's advantage. I feel like that's something that historically we know he leans into. But Jaquan Brisker, does this just, I think, reflect his discontent, perhaps, with what he's seen out of the defense in two games?
Well, I'll tell you this. Everyone's discontent with what they've seen out of the defense over two games. And Jaquan Brisker deleting said tweet tells the story because he thought better of it, whether that was him on his own or with others, I don't know, maybe grabbing him by the scruff of his neck.
Pulling on his tie?
At Howell's Hall. Yeah, maybe that is the case. I get it, Jaquan. You want to do certain things, but have you looked around? He's an athlete. Dennis Allen's out here running out of athletes. So maybe you just do whatever it is you asked and do your job, whatever's asked of you, and we'll come back to you getting used the way you want to be used when there's more, I don't know, players available.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, you can't spell Brisker without no filter. Brisker, no filter.
You actually can.
Robbie, look that up.
Yeah, I just wrote that down. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Down, yeah. Look it up. Go on that AI and see. Filter. Find out. Yes.
No, it doesn't work.
Really,
doesn't compute.
Are turning into Les. Go on that AI.
No. Les would not have acknowledged. I don't care about any of this stupid artificial nothing. I kind of wish Brisker had not taken it down because Brisker does this all the time. And like, he's always posting either cryptic things on his Instagram or his Twitter or very real things like that. I mean, I remember the final game 2 years ago in Green Bay and a few reporters gathering around him in the locker room, and he could not rip on the, as he put it, paraphrasing, the mediocre receivers of the Green Bay Packers. Even though the Bears lost the game. And I was just like, Jaquan Brisker is a beautiful man, but I am with you, Layla, on that. The Bears got to be real careful. Like, we all want them to be creative and dial more things up, and they may, but with all the backups in this week, the way it's looking, we'll get an injury report here in about an hour and a half or so, approximately.
Yep.
There's just not a lot of things you can do.
It's also too... You know, my dream NFL job is linebacker, where my job is to just mess up your offensive plan. Like, I'm like, oh, that's cute. Boom, tackle. Boom. And I get that. If I was Jaquan Brisker, I'd be wanting to do the same thing. I'm like, yeah, put me on the line of scrimmage. Safety blitz. Let's go. Bust some edge.
Sure.
But then, unfortunately, it's like, ooh, I just got neutralized by the blocker, and now we've let go for another 20-yard play.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I think ultimately, Jaquan, the next time you think about tweeting, just think, am I going to have to retract this tweet? Because I want you, as a man, as a player on the Bears, to be able to tweet whatever you want, but also to be able to stand on it 10 toes down.
Number two.
You're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday presented by your local Ford dealers. Which team is living in the past more? The Bears or the Cowboys?
I asked this question.
Very proud of you.
Because I feel like we say it a lot about the Bears, and yes, I feel like there's every reason to do so. But there was never a bigger moment for me, having lived with the Dallas Cowboys, than Jerry Jones trading away Micah Parsons for an unacceptable return, and then also doing so in the most theatrical way possible. This is a team that sells tickets to the Star, its practice facility, so you can watch. It is quite the opposite of how the modern NFL operates. And a lot of what Jerry did in the mid-90s was considered revolutionary at the time. The NFL had a deal with one sponsor. Jerry made sure that its competitor had a deal with Texas Stadium. He was doing things that weren't considered conventional, and really marketing-wise and strategy-wise changed a lot of how the league does business. But if you don't continue to change and adapt, it will come for you. And they haven't been to a championship game in 30 years. The Bears are much closer to the future of this league and the modernization, relatively speaking, than the Cowboys are. Even with a good quarterback, even with a good offensive line that the Cowboys have, the Bears are still more modern to me.
It's definitely the Bears. If I want to go see the last time the Bears were in the Super Bowl, I just, you know, get a DVD.
I'll tell you all about it.
If I want to see the last time the Cowboys were in the Super Bowl, I'm going to need that VCR.
VHS.
I'm going to need that VCR. It's definitely the Cowboys, and it's the Cowboys with a bullet. Also, the Bears and Cowboys have something in common. They just went through a coaching change. One of those was controlled by somebody new. The other was controlled by the same old guy who's been hiring and firing, and he's not going to stop doing that till the day he passes away.
Who Jerry wanted Jones. Mike McCarthy previously?
Yeah, Mike McCarthy was fine, 12-4, like multiple times.
Yeah. I'm going to have to say the Bears.
Wow,
because I'm kind of guilty. Like, and I think a lot of us are of a certain. Anybody who saw the 85 Bears, like, we have been clinging to that desperately for a long time for content and happiness and reunions and anniversaries and all of the like. And if I may quote, it's ironic that this quote came from the great Mike Ditka. He said, "The past is for cowards and losers," as in looking back, that's for cowards and losers. And everybody has made money off of that team and to this day. So, yeah, I will raise my hand and say that, look, hey, there are Bears fans to this day. Part of the reason the Bears have the fan base they have in this city right now is because of what happened in the 80s, the last time the Bears had true sustained success. It didn't, like they got to the Super Bowl 05-06,
yes.
But that it didn't take. after that. Like, they got there, but it didn't sustain itself.
The Cowboys haven't been to a Super Bowl in that time.
No, I got you.
They haven't been to a Super Bowl in this millennium.
But they have paid a lot of players. They've had some. I know Layla's is going to crush you when I say this because you always kill me for talking about the 2018 Bears. The Dallas Cowboys have had tons of really good regular seasons.
There's
right?
only so many times I can say Dez caught it. And Mike McCarthy is a good example. When they did get in the playoffs, they got boat raced. In their last appearance.
100%. And that's why you crushed me on 2018, because it was such a delightful year, but then it led to nothing. And nothing was sustained unless you count that 1 year they were 500 and got to the playoffs.
Yeah,
and
now,
lost to the
Saints. Now add 10 years, and that's Dallas.
Well, but seven times since 1995, seven times since that Cowboys Super Bowl, the Bears have had a winning record. I want you to really think about
wow.
that.
Wow. Hey, I'll do you one better.
And they've in that same amount of time.
Uh-huh.
In that same amount of time, the Dallas Cowboys, while the Bears had seven winning records in the last 30 years,
yeah.
The Cowboys have had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 double-digit wins. That they've had more winning records than just those, but 11 yeah. times is just double-digit wins.
Right, so that's good regular seasons, right?
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean anything, but for whatever
it means it's worth, you go to the playoffs.
The Dallas Cowboys have been more pleasing to watch than the Chicago Bears and seem to have built their teams better. And I know it sounds crazy. And the Bears have had six playoff wins since 1985, and a couple of those were in the 80s.
As much as we rail on the front office and the coaching staff, they would never do the same decision with Micah Parsons. They just wouldn't.
Oh, the Bears would never have traded.
No, yeah. No.
You're right.
You're right about that.
No argument.
Number three.
Third question here in Five on It with Raheem Harris and Grody. Third question. Could George McCaskey learn something from Kerry Ursay Gordon?
Absolutely. This owner is out here saying, I don't know much about this thing that I own, that I am in charge of. Let me immerse myself in it. Let me plug in and not just be, the owner on a Monday. I'm going to meet with the GM and the head coach and see how things are going. No. I'm going to be in the everything on the sidelines, listening to the play call so I can start to understand the jargon, the how the flow of a game goes, the emotions of these players that I give these multi-million dollar contracts to. And she's out here trying to learn as much as possible because it's her responsibility fiscally and to a bigger part because of what that means to a city. When you own an NFL team, that's different than owning an NBA team, an MLB team, an NHL team. It's the NFL. Meanwhile, you've got another owner who's just like, I don't handle any of that. No. And maybe that's part of the problem why the Bears have not been good under George McCaskey's watch. That's all I'm saying. I would want to try to learn as much as possible about anything that I'm responsible for that's that valuable.
I get where you're coming from. I just don't think a meddling, because it would come across as a meddling McCaskey.
I don't think so. Just
that's
he
what this
is
would come
the chairman.
I know.
That is his title.
I know.
He's in
but
charge.
Unfortunately, there is a history in this town of specifically Mike McCaskey. Mike McCaskey was fired by his mother from the Chicago Bears, and that's when George essentially took over. So and McCaskeys have gotten crushed in the media because they don't want the McCaskeys to have input on the football side. That would be the fear. And I understand the spirit of the conversation.
When you hire a team
aware,
president, you have input you on the football side.
Oh, man. So we want meddling owners. We want George Steinbrenner.
I didn't say meddling. I want
because that's what they would come across as, though.
I want educated and informed owners.
I don't think you need another cook in the kitchen. You trust your personnel guy. You trust your team president. You trust your head coach to do their job. You want George McCaskey or any owner? You guys want Jerry Jones, in the room? Nobody wanted him to be the GM
made
anymore.
The GM.
I know.
That's the problem.
But that's where it starts. That's the direction in which it heads. And look, George McCaskey overdid it by saying that I'm just a fan. And he's gotten crushed for that and should get crushed for that. But the appreciation part of that is he lets people do their jobs, delegates authority, stays out of the fray, knows what he doesn't know.
I thought about it, and I do like to see when George is a fan. I do like to see. I feel like that is when he is the most comfortable, when he gets to be a Bears meatball.
Like when he was a ticket handler.
Yes, yeah. But the problem is he's chairman, and yeah. The Bears are
So what do you guys want him to do?
At least by my count, they're 94-136 under him as chairman.
What do you want him to do on the football side other than hiring the right
the
people?
The organization chart says he is in charge. And the board is family members and Kevin Warren. So when you consider that, part of the issue is they consult. What's the famous quote where he said he consults the Maras? You know, the Giants. We just talked about. You know, unfortunately, are in a similar situation when it comes to mediocrity as a franchise right now. The other piece of this, too, is that he's not just a fan, because you do have the title of chairman. And there is an org chart that he's talked about. He says, you know, Kevin Warren reports essentially to George. Yeah. And we now know that Ryan Poles essentially reports to Kevin Warren, a la Ted Phillips, Ryan Pace, for example.
Yeah. George needs to hire better. They need to stop doing the same things with head coaches, like with this being the exception. But too many times, I thought my theory has always been that since Mike Ditka, after that, they had so much of Ditka in their face. They hated Ditka's personality and how Ditka like won over the fans and everybody hated ownership. So since then, they hired the antithesis of Ditka. Like with everybody they hired, all nice guys, and some of them
non-winners.
Non-winner. So I hate that that's the way that they have comported themselves. I hate that the Bears didn't have a general manager for many years after the 80s. They had a guy named Mark Hatley who was the pro personnel director. It wasn't until Jerry Angelo that they actually had a GM, and they've had so I don't like the way he has run that. But in terms of George McCaskey or any McCaskey going into meetings and having say and input into it, that's the part that I don't like.
Number four.
Moving on to the Cubs. Question number four. Fresh off a career high 11 strikeouts and a tough loss on the opposite end of Hunter Green's one hitter, what should Colin Ray's role be in October?
I think he's got to be on the playoff roster in some way, shape, or form. And when we talk about pitchers pitching their way in and pitching their way out, you got to say that Colin Ray's pitched his way in. I know it's the Reds, but that ballpark is still not easy to pitch at. That was an absolute classic yesterday, unfortunately for the wrong reasons for the Cubs. Thank goodness for that one Seiya Suzuki hit. But I think Colin Ray has done an excellent job of doing what you can do to show the front office why you want to be included come the postseason.
I don't know how he's going to be used on a playoff roster, but I think his versatility is what could be key, especially when you're talking about that second series, if they can get to it. I don't know that necessarily he should be on the initial playoff roster if it's a wild card, best of three. You might want to have more bats in that, less pitching than what you would normally need in a full playoff series. But I do think he's someone who could be a piggyback back-end reliever and also pitch in a cleanup role if need be in a longer series. So I think that's ultimately going to be his role.
Sounds like a closer to me.
What? Mark Grody, if you don't.
That's a bad take.
Is that a possibility today?
I see what you're trying to do.
There's not a reason to do it today.
That was the funniest reactions I've ever seen. What? The playoffs?
I'm not going to let you troll me. I'm not going to let. Not today.
No, I am.
Not today.
I am not serious. As a matter of fact, I will go opposite on this. So we're all saying this because he had an 11 strikeout game last night. Is that what this is all about?
I think
about?
It's because there's less than 2 weeks left.
Yeah,
the body of work. But you've ripped his body of work.
I have. That's why I said don't put him in out there in the 3-game series.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. Like you don't.
I'm not saying you start the guy, right. But you might mix him into the bullpen. That's a little weird right now.
In a longer series.
I'd be down with that. Right. He doesn't need to be in high leverage. That's stupid because everything's high leverage in the playoffs. But. Yeah, I wouldn't be afraid to use him, but he's not the first guy out of my bullpen.
Number five.
Final question on 5 on it on 670 The Score. What's your favorite barbecue?
I am such a weirdo for this one, but I'm going to do it. When it's done right, barbecue turkey is amazing.
What? Oh, no.
And there's only one place that I've had it done right. And that was
Gallup, man. I don't know what's been going on this week.
That was Bodacious Barbecue in East Texas. With Kilgore.
Boneless, by the way?
Well, technically, yes, because it's just sliced meat.
Boneless turkey?
I love brisket. I will say that. Like, I'm a huge brisket fan. But when it comes to when it's actually done properly, where it's not dried out, Bodacious Barbecue in East Texas, barbecue turkey is the way.
Here's what I want. I want a burnt-in sandwich with coleslaw on top. And I'm good. Got that? Burnt ends, delicious on their own, but put it on bread, pile it up high, put it on bread, put some coleslaw on top. Woo! I'm good.
Shredded barbecue pork with some cornbread.
Oh, cornbread. That's a nice touch.
And the name of Layla, a little mac and cheese on the side.
Spicy cornbread?
Spicy corn.
Jalapeno cornbread?
I've never had that.
What?
What?
I have not, I'm sorry. I am not as barbecue educated as I should be.
I think DJ Moore would also say what when
Man,
it comes
I'm having
to
a rough
that.
Segment with you guys here.
We love you, Gertie. We missed you the last 2 days. That's what it is.
I know.
No, it's good to have a healthy discussion.
Oh, no, I'm just kidding. I've loved the discussion that we've been having.
So you put jalapenos in the cornbread, and then it's spicy.
Do you put butter on it as well?
I mean, you know me.
Yeah. A little bit of butter, a little bit of butter noodles for you.
No, Grody, I don't have the palate of a child. I just don't enjoy eating wings with bones in them because I'm a messy eater, and I don't. I want to have clean clothes. You don't think about that.
Fair enough.
I know my weaknesses. Coming up next, he has been referred to as Fishy Business. He has also been referred to as Kevin Fishbane. That is his proper name. He is the senior writer at The Athletic who covers the Bears. We'll talk to him about the latest coming from Alice Hall and more next on Raheemy Harris and Grody on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Kevin Fishbane.
I got Fishy Business, K. Fishbane.
Bears beat writer for The Athletic.
I ask for so little in life. It would be nice to cover some really relevant games in late December and early January. I don't think that's asking too much.
Kevin Fishbane talking Bears.
Hey, Kevin. Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic.
I love your name.
It's a great name.
Yeah, great name.
With Raheemy Harrison Grody on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score.
We love talking to Kevin Fishbane on Fridays. He joins us via the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. CircaLasVegas.com. Kevin Fishbane is the senior writer at The Athletic covering the Bears. And he also hosts a podcast. Kevin, what's the name of your podcast?
Hi, guys. The name of the podcast is Breaking In with Kevin Fishbane. You can find it on all your audio platforms and on YouTube.
I'm sorry. I did not know the full name. That's why I asked you. And he joins us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. He gets a lot of the origin stories of media people, you know.
I thought it was about breakdancing. Breaking In. I thought that's what it was. Electric Boogaloo. No.
Fishy?
I mean, that could be season two. We could do a spinoff.
Yeah.
I like spinoffs.
Fair enough. Kevin, I think where we want to start with you is I know you had a mailbag, so to speak, an inbox, if you will, when it comes to your latest story from The Athletic. What were your takeaways from just some of the fan questions you received and what people wanted to discuss?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't as existential dread as I was expecting, Layla. I got a lot of that after week one. But the two biggest focuses from people this week, I think, were the defense. I think that we can all agree that was a startling display that we saw in Detroit last week. And people are wondering, like, wait a second, like, say what you will about Matt Eberflus, but the defense was generally okay until it totally fell off a cliff at the end of last season. And what's going on with it now? Is it Dennis Allen? Is it the injuries? So a lot of people asked about that. And then a lot of people frustrated about the tight ends, the lack of a tight end usage, something I also wrote about this week, and the second round picks not being out there. So I think those are kind of the things that were bubbling up. And I would think, you know, you guys know this certainly from what you do every day and talking to fans, not a lot of Caleb questions this week, because I think people were at least saw some nice steps forward in week two. Still plenty to work on for this offense, but yeah, I think it felt like a lot of ire shifted to Ryan Poles and maybe a little bit Dennis Allen this week, after maybe the week one loss, was a lot of nervousness about Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson. So, yeah, well, if they lose again on Sunday, we'll see where that frustration moves to next.
Kevin, there's a lot of pressure on everyone on this defense to be better than what we saw last week. My question is this. Is it more incumbent upon the guys who are superstars, or at least paid like superstars, to do more? Or is it more incumbent on everyone else who has to step up and fill a role that they weren't in maybe at the outset of the season?
Great question, Marshall. I go with the former. I think your front four has got to be dominant. I mean, you paid Montez Sweat a lot of money. You paid Dio Odengbo a lot of money. You paid Grady Jarrett a lot of money. Use a second-round pick on Jervon Dexter. Like, you need those guys to wreak havoc. And you especially need them to when you don't have Jalen Johnson and you don't have Kyler Gordon and you don't have TJ Edwards behind them. Like, you know, when I'm watching that Detroit game over again, I keep thinking, like, yeah, I get it. TJ Edwards left in the middle of the game. I get it. Jalen Johnson left in the second quarter. But they're not rushing the passer. They're not trying to go after Jared Goff. These guys were all healthy. Those guys were all out there. Those are people you poured the resources into. This team just doesn't have, through two games, who's the star? Who is the guy that's going to wreck a game for you? Who is the guy that's going to, you know, switch it to, you know, get that turnover, get that takeaway, all those things? It should be Montez Sweat based on what he's making and I think what he is capable of as a player. But we haven't seen it certainly consistently since his first year here. And I do think he had a great camp. I saw a lot of things I liked in week one from him. And I thought he had some a couple good moments in week two. But that group, like those guys, you need your stars. I don't think you can call them stars right now. Right now, like your best players on defense, like you need them to play like stars. You got to, I think it was a Ryan Pace term called guys multipliers. Like Khalil Mack was a multiplier. Who is that guy on defense right now? It's supposed to be Montez Sweat. I think it still can be. And maybe they just need to get games kind of in position to let these guys roll.
Yeah, Tez is an effect. There was multipliers, and now there was effects. Well, we haven't seen the Tez effect in a while. Kevin, when you did the film review on the tight ends and you wrote about it in The Athletic, what did you discover, if anything, about Colston Loveland and Cole Kmet and the connection with Caleb Williams?
I think the good news, Mark, is those guys are open. I think that, you know, kind of honing in on Cole Kmet, there was a lot of plays that he was getting open.
Yep.
And then actually the one play that went to a tight end in the first half, Cole Kmet did not look open. And you credit Caleb Williams for trusting him, making that throw. And you credit Cole Kmet for making that play for a first down. So there were opportunities for them. So I think it's a good thing for the scheme. I think it's a good thing for those guys. The question then is, okay, why is the ball not going to them? I'm very careful when I write these things that I qualify. I do not know the progressions. I do not know the way that Caleb Williams is supposed to go 1, 2, 3, 4 through his reads. I'm not back there. I don't know what he's feeling. There were certainly a few plays where I paused the all 22, maybe saw Loveland open, and then you go look at the pocket and you could see that he could probably feel some pressure from you know, an Aiden Hutchinson, and he doesn't want to go back in that direction where Loveland might be, and it's easier to go over the middle to somebody or go to the other side. So, you know, I think it was a multitude of things, Mark. I thought you have look, the head coach said it. He put it on himself on Monday. He's got to do a better job, you know, featuring them in the game plan. I think Caleb Williams admitted it on Wednesday when I asked him about it, that he found some second and super long scenarios where he just got to give it to him and know they're going to get 10 to 12 yards. And I think the protection went into it as well. So I'm curious to see how much they're able to unlock it. They should be able to against a zone defense where those guys can find some openings. But yeah, I think that there's something there, obviously. And I think the good news is it's not like Ben Johnson's going away from using 12 personnel. I think they're fourth in the league in two tight end sets, but they got to find ways to get them to football.
This segment with Kevin Fishbane is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4 Seasons. And Kevin, I'm glad you brought that up, because in the tape that I saw too, when you're looking at the all 22, there are quite a few plays where tight ends are schemed to get open. And the first thing, like, it's not the typical crossing pattern. It's not the typical in traffic. And I thought about two things. Number one, we don't necessarily know where the eyes of the quarterback, Caleb Williams, were supposed to be at that time. And then number two, I think about how the Lions were able to take advantage of the Bears' secondary. And they tried to take advantage of the mismatches. And I think there are times where your tight ends, you know, especially Cole Kmet at like 6'5", you know, use that physical mismatch to your advantage, because I think there are times where he is open and you're saying to yourself, this is a guy who should be able to use his body to get some extra yards here. Like, fall forward on the dude and you've already got plus three.
Yeah, and that's what Cole did on that one catch, too. I mean, he caught and he fell forward for another 2 to 3 yards. And look, a tight end can be a young quarterback's best friend. It could be any quarterback's best friend. You go see what Tyler Warren is doing in Indianapolis with Daniel Jones, and it's making a big impact, obviously, for the Colts. So I think that, like, Roma Dunes had a phenomenal game. You know what DJ Moore is capable of. Like, it's not like Caleb Williams doesn't have good other options to go to, but when you need to stay in the field longer, when you need to put up more points, like, you got to trust some of those guys that are 6'4", 6'5", and can move. Yeah, so there's opportunities there. And I think we're all expecting Sunday to potentially be a shootout. So you got to go to those weapons. You got to go find those guys and find them when they're open and trust them, and just get to the ball to them and trust those 6'5" frames. So, you know, look, I think, as I said, it's coach, it's quarterback, it's offensive line, it's everybody. I'm sounding like a coach now as I say that. But, you know, it's funny because I have memories on this beat of, like, I want to say 2017, there was an entire week where, like, every day we're asking why Tariq Cohen wasn't getting the ball. And then that week Tariq had like 20 targets, or it was like something absurd. And there've been other instances of that. That's the one that always stuck with me. I don't think, like, Ben Johnson is not the type of guy that's going to suddenly flip the game plan on his head because Chicago's up in arms about Colson Loveland's target share. But I do wonder if just the opportunity presents itself nicely. They know they need to do better at it. where Loveland and Kmet both have good games on Sunday.
Kevin Fishbane, senior writer at the Athletic, covering the Bears, joining us here on Raheem Harris and Grody. Kevin, I want to know, do you have the Bears winning this game, and do you see a path for them? Because I can't see it.
I actually do, Marshall, and it's not really X's and O's. it's almost a little more, I don't even know if it's vibes. I just think that if Ben Johnson is everything we think he is, and I think we saw a lot over spring and summer tell us he is, if Dennis Allen is a defensive play caller that we know he can be, like, he's been in this league for a long time for a reason, like, I'm just kind of sitting there being like, I feel like I'm going to give these guys an opportunity as I'm making this pick to trust them that they're going to make sure they do not go 0-3. Like, it's just, like, they can't go 0-3 against Matt Eberflus. I just, like, again, this isn't, like, I'm not being scientific here. I'm not breaking down the film as I make this pick. I just look at a Cowboys team that there's going to be opportunities for the Bears to score. And I just, it's just, I'm just, like, holding on to this belief that, like, Ben Johnson, you know, who just descended from the coaching gods to come to Chicago, a team that never gets that guy, is not going to let this team go 0-3. And, you know, who knows? But I did pick the Bears in a high scoring affair.
Wow, how about that? So the fishy business got the Bears winning this. And I agree with you, man. And I'll take it a step further. Like, I was talking about it on the show earlier. We talked about it in our show meeting. Like, there's been a good edge out at Soldier Field, and we've all taken Ben Johnson's quote, and we have run with it that they're not practicing at a championship level. But you've been in that locker room with all of us on Wednesday and Thursday, and everybody's being asked about it, and it just feels like Grady Jarrett, a little bit edgy in the words that he said. I actually think that it may have been ugly getting there, Kevin, but I do think that Ben Johnson did strike the right chord with the players this week, even if some players disagree about the practices.
Yeah, no, I don't know if you guys heard yet his Friday press conference, but no. Like, the edge has stuck through the week, right? Mm. So I think that, you know, these players seem to take after him a little bit, and while that didn't come through in the fourth quarter against Minnesota, while it didn't come through all game, I also wonder. If this team gets, like, best case scenario, if these guys get on track and win some games and end the season with a respectful record, we might just look back at week two that was a perfect storm. Like, you're going into Detroit on a short week facing a highly motivated team, and obviously those guys were self-motivated by the Ben Johnson storyline. I mean, they went a full Michael Jordan on that, like, turning it into something it probably wasn't, like, convincing themselves that he betrayed them, whatever it took. With the injuries and everything, like, we could might look back and be like, wow, that was just a bit of an aberration. That's best case scenario, obviously. So yeah, I think that this is one of those games where if there's going to be a lot of offense, which defense can get that stop, I don't know. But if it's a one score game and you have the home field, I kind of trust Ben Johnson a little bit more than Brian Schottenheimer when it comes to calling up that one play. I certainly trust Dallas's quarterback a lot more right now. I think Dak is a phenomenal player, especially when he's got the protection in front of him. But yeah, I'm leaning Bears. You know what, Grody? Even Dan Weider picked the Bears.
What?
So that made me feel a little more comfortable.
I know. He shocked me.
I picked the Bears.
Take the North. Speaking of other people in the media, did Ben Johnson have a nickname for our Chris Emma out there? And because Emma seemed to text something to me to indicate that. Did you catch that?
Listen, you guys, brilliant producers at the Score, we need to cut up of that. We need to cut up of that quickly. I want to hear it on the airwaves on 670 The Score.
Okay.
Because you know what? Chris Emma, I don't know what the nickname is going to be. To Question Emma, you know, something like that. But, you know, Chris, it was a good exchange because, you know what?
Yeah.
Chris's double question that might have irked Ben got Ben to loosen up a little
bit. Oh, all right, guys, go to work. We'll hear from that soon. Kev, thank you so much, man.
All right, take care, guys.
That was Kevin Fishbane, the senior writer for The Athletic. We call him Fishy Business, but you know him well because of his work here on 670 The Score and Breaking In with Kevin Fishbane, a sports media podcast.
Love it.
And before Chicago takes on Dallas, tune in Sunday morning from 9 a.m. to noon. We're doing it early. Your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully get you set for the game. Then immediately following, they will have instant reaction on the post-game show presented by Timber Tech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. Mark Grody and the Take the North podcast have birthed such phrases recently as lose normal. And then you also said how did you put it? There's qualities of losing.
There are degrees of losing.
Degrees of losing. Thank you. So we decided we're going to take a look at the winless teams in the NFL and see where they stand, because I agree with this. That's next on Raheemy Harrison Grody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Rahimi Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Aww. Robbie Triano's on one. Loser by Beck. This is Rahimi Harrison, Mark Grody on 670 The Score. And the reason we bring it up is I was inspired. Was I inspired by something that you said to Ronji, Mark? I feel like that's what happened.
That's wild. Maybe that's why during our pre-show meeting, I didn't remember it at first.
Did Ronji ask him to call him daddy?
Did he?
He did not.
Okay.
Luckily.
Interesting.
In this case.
I know that's a thing he does, so.
We were talking about Dakotas,
so
though. South Dakotas and North Dakotas.
Go ahead. Call me daddy.
Never, ever vomit. Those are two separate sentences.
Hilarious. Daddy needs a sleep.
He left the Field of Dreams game early.
Which one? The White Sox one?
He missed Tim Anderson's walk-off.
He's an idiot for
He's
that.
He's the former White Sox postgame host. Like, you have one job in that moment.
Oh, I got to box. I got to beat the traffic. I got to get out of here.
Then why did you go at all?
Right, exactly.
Okay, that's never settled. And I don't think this is either, but Ronji hosted at night this week, and you brought up the phrase degrees of losing.
In reference to the Chicago Bears. And what I said to him was, and I've said it here before as well, that the Bears are 0-2. I picked the Bears to start 0-2. I picked the Bears to lose by 3 in the first game. I picked the Lions to win game 2, 27-17. I did not expect it to look clueless and train wreck worthy. So that's a bad, it doesn't give you much encouragement. That's why we're all looking for ways to come up with for the Bears to win this game. And even Fishbane, who is very analytical, watches the film, is out here saying basically they're going to win because they have to win.
Right, and I think Dan Weider on Monday with us had the phrase "just lose normal," and that was the inspiration for your podcast. But it does make me want to take a look at the winless teams in the NFL. The Dolphins, I wasn't ready to sound the alarm on them after one win. I wasn't ready after two. And now that they're 0-3, and they lost to the Bills last night.
In Buffalo, though, and they kept it close for the majority of the game.
That's the hard part with some of this. And I know that 0-2 is pretty much guaranteeing that you probably won't make the playoffs, but not in the 17-game NFL season. I feel like we're still getting the data on that and the likelihood. So the Dolphins are 0-3, and because they played a third game, their point differential is minus 41. But how do you guys feel about, say, the 0-2 New York Jets? The close game, of course, to the Steelers, 34-32 loss, and then they lost to the Bills 30-10. They next play the Buccaneers, and then the Dolphins, and then the Cowboys. Where do you rank them in terms of ranking losing teams?
Are you asking me if I think they're better or worse than the Bears?
Yeah.
I think that they're better than the Bears.
You do?
Yeah. Oh, you want an explanation? I'm sorry. I thought just yes and no would suffice Bears just gave up 52 points. And also, the Jets at least played somebody within 2 points, you know, with the Steelers and how that game ended. It was a very exciting game. They didn't blow a big lead.
Right.
Double-digit lead in the fourth quarter. Also, the
they
Bills are just...
They lost normal.
They lost normal. Like,
that's all we're looking for, folks.
And to be honest, they lost normal to the Bills, too, because the Bills are Super Bowl contenders, right. And they're not.
Right. And I thought about this, too, Marshall, because you brought up who the most disappointing team is in the NFL okay. right now. And you brought up the Texans, who are 0-2. They and the Titans are both 0-2. But I think we can all say the Texans have a much better chance of not only making it to above 500, but to the playoffs than the Titans do at 0-2. Those are two different teams.
I agree.
Is it surprising what's going on with the Texans from an offensive standpoint?
Absolutely. Yes.
Like Stroud yes. for 2 years now, or a year and change.
Well, and also, you know, they did their part to try to get him receivers. I know Nico Collins went down last year, and that ended up being an issue. But 2019, the loss to the Buccaneers, where it did look more promising, I think... Also, we perhaps are underrating the Buccaneers. You know, Baker Mayfield threw for video game numbers last year, but they just didn't rush the ball very much either in that game. Houston only got 84 yards rushing as a team, but I still think in that division, they're more likely to go 500 than the other 0-2 team, for example.
And also the Texans, they did very much lose normal because they lost to a Rams team that a lot of people say could win the NFC. And also the Buccaneers, who probably will win the NFC South. So two playoff caliber teams, right. if nothing else. And they were close, competitive games.
Does it worry you guys at all that Kansas City's 0-2?
I was just going to bring that up. I mean, they played at the Chargers, lose 27-21. Then they played against Philadelphia. Where'd they play that game?
That was at Arrowhead.
But the other one was Brazil.
Brazil, that's the one. Yeah. Okay, so the first game was...
The Chargers game was Brazil.
The first game. Okay, so the Chargers game... Are we sure? I thought... Oh, no, you're right. So they lose that first game, 27-21. The game against Philadelphia, they lose by 3. Man, it's tough to call that because the Chiefs are just supposed to win,
also,
right?
This is part of the problem with the schedule to begin with is, like, the Ravens, for example, you know, they're in these marquee matchups to start the year. That was the same thing. We knew what the game of the week was last week, and it was Eagles and Chiefs for good reason.
It was not only was it Eagles and Chiefs, but you look around, really, the story here is the fact that there's 10 winless teams right now.
Right.
And there's 10 of them. It's not like there's 3 or 4. There's not... There's a bunch of 2-0 and 3 and now 1-3-0 team, and then there's a bunch of teams in the middle, and it seems to be like three tiers, but some of those teams have played really good teams that are 0-2.
Right. And then you have like the Saints and the Panthers in the NFC South who are both 0-2.
Miami with a healthy 0-3.
I think the Saints, that's a team that you can look at and be like, do we expect the Saints to be good? No. But at the same time, both their losses were one-score games.
Mm-hmm. And normal.
Yeah, they lost normal. So when you start really looking around, even this team that I'm about to say, 0-2, the Cleveland Browns. No one says Cleveland Browns out loud and thinks that's a good football team. They did not lose normal, per se, last week when they went to Baltimore. But that's at Baltimore, a team that we know is a Super Bowl contender. They lost by 1 point to the Bengals. And I'll take it one step further. The reason that they lost their games is certainly not because of the defense, because their defense has been outstanding to start the season. It's just they couldn't keep up and go 4 quarters with the Baltimore Ravens.
Right, and then there's the Giants, who I feel like, unfortunately, are at the bottom of the NFC East for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have Russell Wilson as their quarterback in the room, also Jameis Winston, and then Jackson Dart, as we've mentioned. So much of that centered around their quarterback. And then we are all aware of the Bears situation here.
It's a situation, all right.
So are the Bears the worst team?
It is a situation. They've not lost normal. I don't think the Bears are the worst teams out of the winless teams in the NFL. It feels more bleak for Tennessee. It feels more bleak for perhaps the Saints right now, even though they drafted Tyler Shuck. That's how I feel.
Well, it could all... God, I hope we're not doing the loser conversation next year. I hope we're not in this
next
basement.
Year, I hope we're not doing it
I'm
next
sorry.
Week. How about that?
Next week is what I meant. I meant next week.
Say, how about
as
next week?
In, let's hope the Bears just win the game so we don't have to have the conversation with the other losers in the NFL.
Yeah, well, for example, even the Texans play the Jaguars, so I'm pretty... Even though it's in Jacksonville,
some of these teams
sure
feel like they're about
w.
to win their first game.
Something's exactly. got to give. Yeah.
Exactly. Something will give. That's kind of how this stuff goes. Coming up next on Raheem Harrison Grody. It's a big return for a former head coach. It's a little different from Ben Johnson going to Detroit. I don't know what to say about the comments that have been made by and about Matt Eberflus this week, but we'll all listen together next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.